turn tonight in the Bibles to 1 Peter, let me say just a word while you're turning there. There's some young folk that I've been in contact with, a family that's going through a hard time right now, and God knows about that. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but you pray for them. In fact, is I've got two or three families right now on my mind and heart that the devil's attacked, and you pray that God would help them in a special way and know what to do, how to do. And in these days, we know what the Bible says and what the Bible way is. And you say, well, that'll never happen to me. You don't know what'll happen to you if it wasn't for the grace of God. God's goodness to you and to me. We don't know what we would do or how we would react or how we would handle certain situations, but I'm glad God has it all under control, and he knows everything. And the older I get, the less I know. And I thought this thing ought to work the other way, but I'm finding out it doesn't. The older you get, the more you realize that you don't know. And so I realize that truth, and it is a truth. And but look in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to share just a thought with you tonight. We're going to, then at the end of the service, we're going to finish up a business meeting that we started and had to cut short. Just an item or two we need to take care of, and we'll be through with that. But I do want to share this with you first tonight. Stand with me, please, while I read the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, begin reading at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We're going to stop reading there for tonight. Let's bow our heads just for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you tonight for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we've had to be in the house of God. Songs have been sung, prayers have been prayed. And Father, now we're looking in the Word of God. And I pray in Jesus' name for that divine move of God. I pray you to illuminate our minds, touch our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you would guide us as we try to speak tonight. Help us, God, to be a blessing and a help to others. And in this house, you know every individual mind, what they're thinking even right now. You know every individual heart, what's inside. And I pray in Jesus' name that the Holy Spirit may so work and take thy word and minister it to the heart and the need of that life. And Father, your will be accomplished and bring glory to you. And we'll praise you for all you do. Plead the blood of Jesus. Claim that victory in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. We're thinking about this thing about unspeakable joy. And I want to give you some reasons why we can have that unspeakable joy in the midst of trials. Now in the book of 1 Peter, really dealing with trials, and it's a wilderness book, if you please. It's showing the Christian going through the world and the world being against them. And if today we've been talking about the fact that there are problems and tribulations and trials and difficulties, and if you're not going through some, you will for long. If you haven't been through one recently, you will be through before too long. And there will be trials and troubles and tribulations. I've talked to some pastors recently, going through some things, and different ones, different churches, things we've been through. I know that there are always and will be attacks of Satan, there'll always be trials and tribulations. And sometimes there are things that we bring on ourselves. Sometimes there are things that God allows to come to us. Sometimes the devil attacks. And so we just need to understand the fact that God is ultimately in control of all things. There's some things about what I read in the scriptures tonight that can give us some joy and can help us in any circumstance that we find ourselves in. I want you to look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 12. Just something about grace. Talks about true grace. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is a true grace of God wherein you stand. And we better know the true grace of God wherein we stand, because in these days there are things happening on every hand that you're going to need the grace of God. Now, that grace that saved us, thank God for saving grace. But I'm glad for that grace that's new every day. I'm glad for that grace that I get every day. And God's grace is sufficient. Paul said, talking about the Lord's grace being sufficient for him. And so the grace of God is sufficient. Here Peter's writing to a church and they're going through real trials, real troubles, real difficulties, real things that's happened and coming their way. And they're in the midst of that, and he's writing this letter in response to it. And I want to show you something here. And let me give you about three things that why God allows suffering. Number one, God allows suffering to keep you from sin. You say, preacher, give me a verse. I'm glad you asked. I wanted to anyhow. Amen. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4 and verse number 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Talking about let this mind of Christ be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And did you know God allows some suffering to help us so that we keep us away from sin? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, he said, lest I be exalted above measure because of the abundance of the revelations given to me. God allowed a thorn to come in his flesh. And he said God allowed that. God knew he needed that. And pride would come in, or we would get too self-sufficient if we didn't have some sufferings along the way. If everything was always rosy and always the way you, easy road, easy thing, and then we wouldn't pray as much, and we wouldn't be as close to God. We wouldn't have as much fellowship. And so God allows that. It helps us, keeps us away from sin. It makes us realize the fact that we the suffering God comes our way, helps us along the way. Amen. Then there's chastening of God. And I dealt with that some time ago, but we're not do say much about that tonight. The fact is, I'm still just in introduction. But I'm telling you that God allows suffering to come to chasten us sometime. We all need chastening. If you don't have chastening, you're not a son of God. You've got to have some chastening in your life. God always corrects those he loves. And we're his children, and he loves us, and he cares enough about us to chasten us. But I want to give you a third thing about this. And this has to do with that eternal glory. I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. While you're turning there, we often quote Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, the called according to his purpose. Now we quote that. It's easy to say that, but to really believe that and put it into practice in our lives, another story. But look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now we'll say more about that a little bit later in the message, but here he's saying the glory. I'm glad. Paul said, I'll glory in my afflictions. And so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I was thinking the other day, I was praying about some things and thinking about in my own life. And God just reminded me of what Paul said. I will glory in. And I thought, well, praise God, hallelujah. And I may not feel like it physically, but I might turn a flip anyhow. Amen. That's what he said, I'm going to glory. in those things so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And we realize in those times that God has to do it. God does it or it doesn't get done. And not in our own efforts, not in our own abilities. It's all God or it doesn't. It's not God. And so I'm glad that God helps us, but for his glory and for his honor. Are we not here to please him and glorify him and to worship him? Is that not the reason we exist? Is that not why we grace this earth? Is to glorify God? If we can glorify God in suffering, then why not let it be? If it glorifies God in going through a trial, why not break down in the desert? If it glorifies God to show forth the grace of God, the work of God in certain areas of your life, why not let it be? God knows what he's doing. And so these sufferings, and that's just three reasons you could toss out quickly about why. I'm sure there's more you could go into, but let that suffice. And I'll say this in the introduction, then I'm going to give you three or four things real quickly tonight. But there's a difference in suffering with Christ and suffering for Christ. In Romans 8:17 says, if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him. We suffer with him in the fact that we have to take on the divine nature inside and become identified with him and living in an ungodly world. And that suffering of sin, you remember Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, and you would not. We suffer with him in the sense that we want to see people saved. I want to get them right with God. We see what's happening, see the sin. We see the lives run and things that happen and suffering with him. But for him, Paul said, and writing about himself there, well, Luke was writing it, but it was about Paul in Acts chapter 9 when he was talking about the fact of him being saved and then God telling him that he's going to show him what he had suffered for his sake. In Acts chapter 5, you find disciples being beaten and they went away rejoicing because they accounted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when you suffer for him, you're persecuted because of your faith in him and of the work that you're doing for him and suffering for him. Everybody that's saved suffers with him. But those that are really endeavoring to do certain things for him at certain times, certain places, suffer for him. And there is a difference in it. Let that suffice for an introduction. I just want to give you these things quickly that God showed me in these scriptures as I thought about trials, thought about the days we live in. And Jesus is coming, by the way. I just thought I'd plug that in. He is coming back. I don't know when. I just know he's coming. It's without a question that we're seeing some things happening in our day. I believe it's setting up the fact for the Antichrist. And I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know what the time period is. I don't know what I just know one thing. We need to occupy till he comes. And we need to be ready and packed up and ready to go when he does come. And the only way to be that is be saved, born in the family of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, made a new creature in Christ, saved, saved, saved. Are you saved tonight? If you're saved, then hallelujah. You're ready for the rapture. Take place. Now I say when you're ready, you'll go in the rapture. You may, but if you're not living for God as you should, you won't be ready to meet him. You'll be ashamed to meet him. But if your last word ought to be living for God, serving God, then you'll not even be ashamed. Amen. Just be a joy to meet him. And so that's another message in itself. But I'm talking tonight about trials and tribulation. I'm talking about going through rough times. I'm talking about what God said in these scriptures and gave us some reasons why we should have joy unspeakable. And dealing with this at unspeakable joy, and that's what he's dealing with here. Let me show you just in scripture and what he says here in these scriptures that ought to help us tonight. And again, there are trials. These things happen that people don't understand. These things that you can't explain to people. These things that you just go through that nobody understands. And then these things that some people understand, others don't. Some things that individuals go through that family understands, others don't. And some do. And the same way with the church. Same way with a life period. But I'm glad, thank God, regardless of what the trial is, there are some things that God said in his word, in the scripture, at unspeakable joy. And I pray tonight that you have unspeakable joy down deep inside. It may be some valleys to go through, but thank God he's a lily of the valley. There may be some things to go through, but thank God he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way. I thank God for that. Satan may attack, flesh may fail, and there may be a breakdown physically and all of that, but thank God he still is God. He still is. We're here to glorify him and to magnify him. And he saved us by his grace. That's enough to have joy from here on out to eternity. Amen. If everything else falls apart. I'm glad, praise God, we're saved by the grace of God. Now look in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again in a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Here is the first thing I want to mention to you is in our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, blessed, and said, according to his abundant mercy. And I talked about that true mercy a while ago. His abundant mercy is why you got saved. You didn't deserve to get saved. You got saved because of the mercy of God. The mercy kept you out of hell. Fact is, if you hadn't got mercy, you'd have went to hell. And you'd be in hell tonight, so would I. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. I'm glad for mercy and grace both worked, amen. And said abundant mercy, amen. And I'm glad for that mercy, hallelujah. And said that abundant mercy hath begotten us. And the Old Testament, you say, here, read about so-and-so, and so, also in the New Testament, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and somebody was born. And here he said, begotten begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'm glad, thank God, I got born in the family of God, saved by the grace of God. I got begotten, if you please. And by Jesus' only begotten Son of God. And I one day, thank God, I got in the family of God. I'm not the only begotten Son of God, but I am a begotten Son of God. Not the only, just begotten by God. Amen. That is, the Holy Ghost worked in my heart, birthed me in the family of God, put a divine nature on the inside, and was dead. And I was dead spiritually, but I'm alive spiritually now. That's divine nature from God. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for a begotten, for a lively hope we have because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He lives, I live. Hallelujah. He said, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. I'll never have to go to hell. I never have to die, in fact, because that's separation from God. And I'll never be separated from God. Jesus took my separation on the cross and separated and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God, now we'll never be forsaken because he was forsaken. Number 2, I want you to look at the inheritance. Look at verse number 4 and 5. To an inheritance, 3 things about the inheritance. It's incorruptible. Everything we know down here is corruptible except for salvation, that of God. He said it's incorruptible, inheritance over yonder. Incorruptible, it's undefiled, never been touched by sin. And that fadeth not away. It's not going to just go away. It's going to be there forever, reserved in heaven for you. I'm glad I have a reservation in heaven. There's reservations you make sometimes down here and you have to break. There's appointments you make sometimes and you'll have to break them. And sometimes you tell people you do something and you won't do it. But for some reason can't be helped. And there's something providentially happens. But I'm glad this reservation we got in heaven. There's nothing going to happen to that reservation. It is reserved for us over there. Hey, man, I got a place over there. I'm glad, thank God, I have a reservation made in heaven. Now, look at verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So kept by the power of God. I'm glad tonight also that I know that I'm kept by the power of God. Amen. Some people feel like and act like that they keep their own selves saved. You couldn't even keep yourself safe for a day, much less for eternity. You couldn't, amen. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you fault. That's in Jude. I'm glad unto him that's able. He's the one that has the power to keep us day by day. And he's keeping us. The inheritance over there is reserved, keeping us down here. I'm glad for his grace. I mentioned that in the very beginning of the message, for the grace of God. If it were not for the grace of God, our lives would be totally messed up. And we tonight would not be sitting in the house of God. We would not be living for God. We'd not be having a testimony you have for God. It's all the grace of God. And we need not to boast in ourselves, but boast in him. It's all of him. Thank God, I'm glad for him. Amen. I realize my littleness, my weakness, my sinfulness, if you please, and a wicked heart outside of what God did for me and does for me day by day. It's just the grace of God. Amen. And tonight I pray God to help you to realize the fact that that inheritance is God kept, reserved, powers there for you. Thank God for it. Amen. But I want you to look at something else. He says in verse number 6 and 7, the trial. The trial. As you think about that trial, look at it with me. And you think, you said, preacher, I thought we were going to talk about joy. We are. But here he's talking about that trial. And I said a while ago when I talked about the glory, we come back to that. Here it is. Verse number 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. If need be, heavy. Manifold temptations. That means many problems on every hand. Said if need be. And then verse number 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. He said to try your faith is more precious than gold. When trials come, when those problems hit, when you're going through that valley, when whatever it is going on, and it seems like it's dark, no light, and you can't see the end of the tunnel, so to speak. And sometimes we think we see the light at the end of the train coming. And we realize the fact that there's no hope. Hey, listen, I want you to know there is hope in God. And he said that manifold temptations may come. But he said, listen to what he said about this. That it may try and be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When we go through trials, and we go through those heartaches and sorrows, and whatever it is we go through in the darkness, when we come out on the other end, and we come out with the right attitude, with the right spirit within, when we accept what's happened, whether it be death in the family, whether it be sorrow in the family, whether it be heartaches and sorrows or physical ailments or whatever it may be, or it be situations that's happened that we don't understand, whatever it is, when we come through them with the right attitude of love of God, and love for him and praise him. If that's what gives him glory, then you and I ought to come out with an attitude, with a joy unspeakable and full of glory, and say, thank you, Lord, and go ahead. And that day when he appears and we see him, it'll be worth it all. Amen. There'll be no regrets when we see him. If you go through those things. Now, if we go through those things and we do and don't do it with the right attitude, we blame God and fuss at everybody and blame everybody else for everything that happened, then we're in trouble. But when we face it with the right attitude and say, God, help me. Help me. It's me, oh God, standing in need of prayer. And I realize the fact it's me, oh God, that stands in need of prayer. And it might be what I ought to be for the glory of God and show forth the right attitude and the right spirit in my life. And so the trials, he said, rejoice in them, and they're for the glory of God. Then let me share with you, he talks about the fellowship in verse number 8. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He talking about that fellowship with him. You hadn't seen him, but you love him. And even in the valleys, you crawl up to him. And he loves you and you love him. You can't see him, but he's real. And if you don't know what it's like to be in the valley and to know that God's real, then you missed some fellowship that you ought to have. If there's never been a time in your life when it got so bad, You couldn't know which way to turn, but you knew, found God somewhere there. God came by, made himself real on the inside of you. You had fellowship with him and loved him in the midst of the storm. And it got so good you forgot the storm. Amen. Just gotten fellowship with him. He said it's full of glory. Full of glory. Now notice the last thing I want to mention to you here tonight. The salvation. And verse number 9, receiving the end of your salvation, or of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And verse number 3, we talked about that. Great mercy and being saved, being begotten. And here we're talking about salvation again, but we're talking about the end of salvation. The end of salvation. Well, let me say this tonight. If you listen to me closely, you'll get it. I have been saved. I am being saved, and I shall be saved. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's completed over with. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in sign language, when they talk about being saved, it is like this: Jesus saved, finished. Something to that effect. Who knows sign language around here? Who does? Jeff, give me sign for saved, finished. Okay, I'm backwards on it. Well, I back them up on it anyway. But anyway, finished, saved. But what's saved, finished, or finished, saved? Same difference. Saved. Amen? And that's what he's saying. I have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's finished, completed, totally. But I am now being saved from the power of sin. If your life is following God, he's delivering you from the power of sin. There's things in your life, in my life, that we need help with. And God helps us and delivers us from things. And he'll show you one thing. You get handle that with his help. He'll show you something else. And then he'll show you something else. We ought to grow in grace, knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue growing. But then someday we shall be saved from the very presence of sin. I'm glad, thank God, I'll be saved from the presence of sin. I'm tired of sin. I'll be glad when I'm saved from the presence of sin and be yonder in glory. What he's saying in these verses is, yeah, your trial's heavy. You're going through a hard time, but you got joy unspeakable. Enjoy the joy. Get the joy and enjoy it. Amen. Father, I pray you seal the words to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to realize that we have unspeakable joy. These things you've said to us, Lord, the grace, the mercy. Father, thank you for your keeping power. Thank you for the inheritance that we know we have, Lord, which is so inexhaustible to be expounded upon. And thank you, Lord, for that keeping power. Thank you, Lord, for the trials. And even though when we're going through them, it's hard to say thank you. But Lord, you help us have fellowship with you deeper than ever. And you help us to depend upon you more and more. And Father, one day it'll be over and we'll be out of the very presence of sin. You said that's the end of our faith. Thank you. Lord, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.